I am. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
All right. Baruch Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach. And we are here tonight. We're going to finish up a little bit of what we started on Sunday. But Pastor Ben, the time police, stopped us. So I need to finish that up because there are very important things we still need to know about the harvest. And then a few of you guys caught me when I said there is a fifth type of rain that causes for a second harvest. We'll read about that because I think that's very important that in the culture of God, there can be more than one wheat harvest. And so you're going to know God, you have to learn the Tarbut, which is the culture in Hebrew, right? You have to know like the traditions of Israel. You have to know the culture of Israel because God is writing the Bible based on his culture, his traditions, his feast days. And so the more you know about God and the more you know about his culture and the way he does things, the more we're going to know what he's doing. Okay.
Amen.
So what we want to talk about today. Thank you, Mother Brenda, for praying me in. What we want to talk about today is I need to continue to educate you on the former and the latter rain, okay? Because many of us don't really understand it. Everybody thinks that, oh, the former rain is when Acts, the Holy Spirit came, and then the latter rain will be when he gives the Holy Spirit to Israel and all the nations at the end. Well, there's a lot of things that we take the teaching of, but we never study the culture, so we really don't know who the former rain is, who the latter rain is. It's because of the latter rain that we were able to get the Holy Spirit, but that coming down of the Holy Spirit was the latter rain, okay? And that latter rain is still pouring out very hard because it's creating a harvest for God into the kingdom. Now, it is true that in the end, God is going to give the Holy Spirit even to the nation of Israel and those that make it through the tribulation. But the latter rain, Christ, is the latter rain. Christ has already done the job, okay? Yeah. And we'll understand that more and more as we look at this. And then we're going to ask ourselves the question, when did God start the 120-year count to the beginning of judgment? When did he start it for us? Because if he started a 120-year count for Noah, and he said this will happen in 120 years, and it happened in exactly 120 years, then when did God start the 120-year count for us? And did he start a 120-year count for us? Because if he did, oh, it is great news. And so we're going to look at that as well, okay? So, first of all, I want to start back and explain to you guys the four types of rain seasons that come to the nation of Israel. I read to you one of the scriptures that said to Israel, God is not going to give you land like he gave to Egypt, where he gave them rivers and lakes and the four rivers to flow through it. And they can use that water to go and water their field as a garden. You know, he says, your land is completely different. Yours is mountains and valleys. And the only way that you're going to be able to harvest well is because I, God, am going to provide the water to your land. I'm going to cause the rain seasons. I'm going to make the land fruitful, okay? So God didn't make them like Egypt. God made them where they had no lakes and they had no rivers and lakes. What they had was to depend on God.
Amen.
They had to depend on God year in and year out for all of the harvest, okay? And that's how God wanted it. He wanted them dependent upon him. Okay? So, the four different types of rain, and I want you guys to listen very carefully, okay? Because this is very important, okay? The four types of rain are matar, okay? Right here, which is your, this is a fall rain, okay? This is coming down right after Sukkot in the fall, trying to, because the summer has been hard and it's going to break up the ground and get the ground prepared for the seed, okay? Then you got Geshem, which is a heavy rain, okay? And the Geshem is going to come, is a heavy rain that's going to now begin to give life to the soil, okay? Then you have Yerad, which is the early rain, okay? And you have Melkosh, which is the spring rains. And the spring rains are pretty much like Geshem rains, except they are very hard rains, okay? They're the ones that provide the substance to the grain, okay? Now, let me read this, and you guys don't have a copy, so let me read this and try to follow me, and I'll give you an understanding. I got this from a site and a website that I love called One for Israel. It's a Messianic Jews in Israel, and they witness to Jews all in Israel. Well, they have a website I didn't know, and quite a bit of very helpful information, okay? And so this is what they wrote in one of their articles. They said the former rain, okay, when I say the former rain, what do I mean? The former rain, meaning the rain that begins in the fall, okay? The latter rain is the rain that pours down in the spring, okay? Those are the rainy seasons that produce harvest, okay? So the former rain just started to fall here in Israel, right on time, from Passover to Sukkot. The blessing of the dew is recited, but for the end of Sukkot, it is time to get praying for rain. The phrase, Mikshav HaRuach U Morid HaGeshem, is a praise included in the daily prayer, praising God who causes the wind to blow and the rain to fall starting on the last day of Tabernacles. When was Jesus born? Tabernacles, okay? So the rain was prophesied to come down when? In Tabernacles, because he's coming down, okay? So the rain falls starting the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And now rain is falling on the parched land. So the land is dry and now there's rain falling down. Rain is so important here in Israel that there are several different words in the biblical Hebrew for the main ones being Yerad, which I talked about. That's rain, Matar, which is the fall rains, Geshem, a heavy rain, and Malkosh, which is a heavy rain. Okay, what do these words mean? Yerad and Malkosh. Even though it is fairly late in the year in terms of Western calendar, the rain that begins in the fall are known as Yerad, okay? So these rains are called the early rains because they're coming down in the fall. Why are they coming down in the fall? Because it's been a long summer. It's like September now, right now, right? We're about to have we're going to have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. So it's been a dry summer. The early rains are going to come down what? To begin to break up the ground because they got to start harvesting again. Okay? So let's continue. Okay. Now it says here, these early rains are reason to be glad after a hot, dry summer and the ground can be broken up and ready to work the field. Toward the springtime, around the time of Passover, Israel will have the latter rains known as Malkosh, necessary for ripening of the barley and wheat. Okay? So the rains that come down in the spring, they begin to ripen the barley and the wheat. Now, the barley and the wheat is growing, but to mature it, it needs Malkosh rain, which is a heavy rain that comes down in the spring, okay? So now, let me finish here. Now it says the word for the former rain, yarad, comes from the root word to shoot, to cast, or to teach. So the rain is coming down to what? To teach, okay? This is what the word is meaning to God, okay? Not for us, because we say the rain is coming down to fertilize the land or to loosen the land. God says when the rain comes down, it's coming down to shoot as to pinpoint an arrow, because it's coming to teach so that you get it. You understand? So it says, like an arrow being shot to a target, or information being directly delivered from a teacher to a pupil, your rod rains are sent down to soften the ground, ready for the first planting of seed. In fact, God's teaching is also compared to sending of the rain in Deuteronomy chapter 2. May my teaching drop as rain, he says in Deuteronomy. My speech distill as dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, like showers upon the herbs. So his rain is coming down. May my teaching, his doctrine. So the rain that we're seeing come down is Christ, and he's the doctrine or the rain that is going to come down. Okay? Now, let me finish, you guys, because it's important that we understand the culture of God's rain season. The latter rains, Malkosh, are much harder rains that would have just caused flooding and devastation if they had come earlier on a dusty, dry ground. Because the first rain drops softly like a dew just to soften the ground, right? Okay, but these latter rains are essential to the agricultural cycle too. The Gesher calendar, and it says the agricultural, it says, tells us that in January and February time, there is a second round of later planting an ancient Israel agricultural year. So later in the year, they have a second round of planting. You understand? They have a second round of planting. Now, listen to this. There was a second round of later planting in ancient Israel agricultural year, called the Lakesh. Okay? So now this harvest season is another planting of the wheat and of the barley. So you can actually have a second harvest if you have a good Malkosh rain season. Okay? Because that's why they're planting. Okay? And it says the Spirit of God is often connected with water, the Bible, and God's provision of water, and some would see the former rain and the latter rain as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as vindicated of the message of the gospel from Joel. And it is, because the Holy Spirit is that latter rain that really begins the growth cycle, okay? Amen. That's the Malkosh rain that we need to start producing substance, okay? Joel chapter 2 says, be glad, O children of Israel. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter before. Now, I'm going to stop there. Now, okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to understand something here that I never understood, because I wanted to know, when the harvesters come down and harvest the land, why are they so smart? Because he says, I'm going to send the harvesters to harvest the land. Okay? So watch this. Are you in Matthew chapter 13? And we're going to read at verse 24. And it says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemies came and sowed weed among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also sprouted and appeared. The owner's servant said to him, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And the enemy has done this, he replied. The servant asked, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling up the weed, you may root up the wheat with it. He says, let them grow together until the harvest, okay? At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weed and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn. Okay, now, why does he say, let them grow up together? Why does he say that? Because of the teaching that I've read in here is that the rain is causing the wheat to grow, but it has a stiffness in it. You understand? It has a stiffness because it has really no substance yet. The wheat grows just like the tares in the beginning, okay? They grow straight up and they have a stiffness in them. When the Malkosh rain comes, it gives the wheat fullness and substance. And the more Malkosh rain it receives, the wheat begin to bow down.
Oh, look at that.
Because of the substance that's inside of it. So a harvester can now tell what's the wheat and what's the weed, because the weeds continue to stand straight because they're stiff and they have no substance. You understand? So a professional harvester comes in and he says, oh my goodness, pull up all the stiff ones that are still standing straight, because we know that's weed.
Right.
But those that are bowing down because of the weight of the substance that is in them, gather them and put them in the barn. Okay? So this is why it's important that we understand that this latter rain has come down with the word of God to teach us, because the more rain that we receive, the more substance we get in us, and so much substance that it causes us to humble ourselves and to bow before God like wheat should. You understand?
Yeah. That's good word, Pastor.
So, I wanted you to understand that, because we are in this harvest season. The wheat harvest was not harvested at Pentecost. So all of us as believers are saying, well, what happened to the wheat harvest? But we don't know the culture of God, that there is a second wheat harvest called the Lakesh, that there's a second planting, and with enough Malkosh rain, it can produce a second harvest. Okay? So, understanding that God does have a second harvest should make every born-again believer who is a bowed-down wheat waiting to be taken up to be happy, because now we know that there is a second harvest. Okay? Now, let's continue here. Let me get to scripture. Okay, I want us to go to Joel. Let's see, should we go to Joel? Yes, go to Joel chapter 23, chapter 2.
Joel.
Joel. Joel chapter 20, and you'd have to go kind of backwards from Matthew, past Zechariah. When you get to Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Now listen, okay? It says, "Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you autumn rains in righteousness." Now, how many of your Bible says he has given you autumn rains in moderately? Does your Bible say? See, his Bible says moderately. That is an incorrect translation, okay? So, it says in the Hebrew, he has given you the autumn rain, righteousness. Who is righteousness? Jesus. He has given us the autumn rain, which is who? Righteousness. It's Jesus. So at Tabernacles, Jesus is born. But he's not born as a heavy rain. It's just a light rain that is coming to let you know, begin to break up the soil, because now the planting's about. In the spring, we're going to give you the heavy rain, and the heavy rain is going to come later, and that's going to begin to produce the harvest. Okay? I want us to understand this. Now, let's go to, we're in Hosea. Did we read chapter 6, verse 3? Let's go to chapter 6, verse 3 in the book of Hosea. I'm going to read these scriptures because I wrote them and the Lord wants me to read them. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him as surely as the sun rises. He will appear." I love that. "As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains," or the fall rains, right? "And the spring rains upon the earth." Okay? So both the Geshem and the Malkosh rain, he's going to come down upon us. Okay. And I want to read one more, which is Joel chapter 2. I should have just stayed there first. Joel chapter 22. Did we read 23? Okay. We're going to read 28 through 32.
28?
Yeah. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Then it says here, "And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Okay? I'm making sure I finished in exactly where. Okay. "I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls." Now he says the survivors, okay? Because he's talking about when he comes at the very end, okay? And that will be when the Holy Spirit will come on everyone. But there are some things that are going to happen on earth before that happens. And the thing is, we've seen them all happen, okay? We've seen the blood moons. We've seen the sun turn to darkness in the middle of the day. 2017. We've seen all this. So now the rain has come down. It has produced a harvest. You are the harvest. Yes, you have a question?
It says pillars of smoke, volcanoes.
Yeah. So you have You have received the Holy Spirit, okay? That's the latter rain, okay? That rain came down and came inside of you to do what? To produce inside of you what? Substance, so that when the harvesters come, you won't be standing up straight with nothing to offer. You understand? So all this rain has come down. We are here. We are waiting. What? When the harvest is full and is ready to go, we are ready to be harvested. The world, but the scripture says to the children of God, be patient and wait on the Lord. He will come as the former rain and the latter rain. Okay? So he says, be patient. Because God is concerned about the harvest. Don't think that he has forgotten about the harvest. But he's saying, be patient. Now, the patience comes because we don't really know God's whole culture, because we're a bunch of Gentiles and we don't dive into understanding Hebrew culture. But there is a Lakesh rain of Malkosh that causes from a second planting another harvest. Okay. In the spring. So we have this to look forward to. But now I want to ask you guys a question, and I want to listen to God first. Yes. When did, let's go here. Let's go to Genesis. We just turned the corner. So I finished the rain, and now the Lord wants me to talk to you about the 120. Are you in Genesis chapter 6? Okay, we're going to be in verse 1. And we're not going to be teaching a whole lot, but we're going to be in verse 1. Okay, here you go. You guys there? Yeah. In verse 6, it says, and it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them. Ow! I never knew what that meant. Hold up. Somebody said, like, you can, like, get happy in the spirit, right? I'm going to read this, but I almost did one of those moves. And I don't want to do one of the moves. I ain't going to do it. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was like, woo, hold up. Let me stop. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Let's get back. I'm not going to do one of the moves, man. But I'm telling you, this just hit me. Okay, now watch this. You guys with me?
We with you.
Okay. It came to pass that when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit, my ruach, right? My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay. In chapter 7, at verse 6, it says, Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth. Now, from studying, I know when God said this thing to him about the 120 years, that Noah was 480 years old. So that means at exactly 120 years, God did exactly what he said, and the flood began.
Right.
Okay? Yeshua comes and says it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. When did God begin to count our 120 years? And I put a question mark behind it because we think we know everything, but we don't know anything. We don't know. But we have what God says, it is my honor to hide a matter, right? Uh-huh. And it says, it is his glory to hide a matter, but it is your honor to search out the thing, okay? So we want to know if God did this in exactly 120 years, when did God begin the 120 year count for us? And can we mark the beginning of that 120 year count? And can we see that judgment is coming at that 120 year count? Okay? This is where we go into the study. Now, this is what we need to understand. Let's go over here real fast, Pastor Ben, because we're going to get back to that. Okay? We're talking about Psalms. Because Psalms is absolutely an incredible book. And when Psalms is prophesying every year, an event after event after event after event, and then in 1947, Psalm 47 prophesies the event of the whole, all the world leaders coming together, and then all the world leaders decide to give the land back to Israel. In the exact Psalm 47 that God said the meeting would happen, then you go, wow. Now, if in the next year you already know God, you will say, well, if they decided this year, that means we're moving back into the land in 48. So in Psalms, the 19th book, the 48th chapter, they move back into the land. But it doesn't stop there. Every year after that and every year before that, Psalms prophesies an event that's going to happen in that particular year. So in 1900s, did God begin a 120 year count? Because we're at 119. And Psalms 120 is called the Psalms of Ascent, which means to go up, the Ma'alah, right? So Psalms 120 is a Genesis Psalms. This is what I want you to know. It consists of three Psalms. So you're going to go three Psalms Genesis, three Psalms Exodus, three Psalms Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy, like this, right? So you're getting three Psalms that are making up Genesis. Psalms 120 begins a whole new story called the Psalms of Ascent, okay? And I want you to understand that. Because 120 is very important. And we need to understand that. So, when you write out the word 120 in Hebrew, this is it, okay? Now, in Hebrew, you saw ma'ah is like 100, okay? Ma'ah is 100. So you say ma'ah v'shesh, 106. Ma'ah v'shesh, ma'ah v'sheva, ma'ah v'... Chamesh. So you're going to say 100 and this, 100 and that, right? Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the letter that I'm going to use as and, because vav, the vav in Hebrew is and. So me'ah ve'esrim, 120. Okay. Now, this is the thing. Vav, what is the most important thing that we need to understand about Vav? What does the letter Vav mean? Complete salvation, okay? It is also the day that God created man, on the sixth day. But salvation is in the letter Vav, okay? Vav is very important. Let's stop and talk about Vav for a second. Maybe I should do this tomorrow and finish this. Okay, so now watch this. So Mi'ah 120 has a numerical value of, well, 666. But it only has 666 if you take the Vav out. So once you take out salvation, now you have the 120. You understand? You have to take out the Vav, which means salvation. So you got 120. But once you take out the Vav, which means salvation, now you get the 666. So once salvation has been taken out, wow, the judgment comes. Okay?
Wow.
So 120, I've taught on this before, 120 is more than just a number. It is a message to the body of Christ that 120 without salvation, once salvation is taken out, becomes 666. Okay? Now, I want us to know this. Okay, now watch this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. You guys in Genesis, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Okay, watch this.
Genesis 2?
Yeah, Genesis chapter 2. I want us to read this. Okay, watch this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And it says, And on the seventh day, God ended his works which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Okay? And it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in that it had rested from all his works and God that God had made. And it says now in chapter 4, Ele HaToladot. Okay, these are the generations of heaven and earth, okay, when they were created. Now, Toledot, listen to me, you guys. Listen to me. This is how Toledot is spelled out, okay? With the Vav here, and then with the Vav here, okay? Now, when you get to chapter 5, let's go to chapter 5 of Genesis. Chapter 5 in Genesis, it says this. Yes. And it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. You see that? It uses the same word, toledot. These are the generations of Adam. But what does God do? He spells it like this. You think God forgot how to spell generations? What did Adam do in his generation? He sinned. So God took out the Vav from his name.
Wow.
You understand? He took out the Vav from the generations because sin had occurred. This Vav is representing the salvation that God is going to bring. I'll show you something very interesting as well that God is going to bring. But he takes out the Vav that represents man because Adam has sinned. So now he misspells toledot in the scripture every time until he gets to Ruth. And what happens when he gets to Ruth? When he gets to Ruth, he says, these are the generations of Perez. But he spells it with the Vav. He puts the Vav back in there. Why? Because the generations from Perez is going to be 10 generations. That's going to lead to David, which is going to lead to Christ. So now God, he says, let me put the Vav back in now because salvation's about to come. You understand? These are the jots and tittles that when you're studying in English, you're not going to see.
Right.
You understand? Because God will say, I want you to be holy because I am holy. But he'll use your holy, kadosh, he'll spell it with no Vav. And when he says, because I am holy, he'll spell that with a Vav. Because he'll say, salvation is in me, but it's not in you. You understand? So Vav always means salvation. The word 120, when the 120 comes, the Vav is taken out. I'm telling you this because God told me, don't forget what you've already learned. We've learned a lot. And if you forget what you've already learned, you'll misunderstand that God is leading you. He says, it is my honor to hide a thing. It is his glory to hide a thing. It is your honor to search out the matter. When did God begin to count the 120? Is it visible in scripture that God started counting 120 in scripture? Is it visible?
Yes.
In Psalms. I want you to just, you can go to your computer and say, when do the Psalms of ascent begin? What does it mean to ascend? To go up, right? Mi'alah in Hebrew. The first psalm of ascent is Psalms 120. You understand? So it's like, okay, I'm giving you this clue. I'm trying to let you know and understand that I'm leading you. This is what God told me. I'm leading you, okay? It's a carrot. I know you've reached for it and I pull it away. But I'm leading you. You understand? We are to stay alert. Stay with the understanding that Yeshua's promise of coming back for his bride is impossible for him to lie. You understand?
Yes. Amen.
That means even if Jesus said, I'm going to really try real hard to tell a lie, he wouldn't be able to do it. Do you realize that? It says all things are possible with God, except I can't tell a lie. It's impossible. So he says that this wedding day, he tells his bride, I'm coming back for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, he says to the bride. I am going there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. I'm going to come and receive you, perolambano, take you as a friend and a companion with me, okay? This is not something Jesus just said to keep you happy. This is a promise. This is what weak Christians don't understand. Mm-hmm. You're not dealing with Buddhism or some Swami with a wrap thing wrapped around his head telling you this is the religion. We are dealing with God, who has proven himself time and time in history that I am God. Watch this. Israel, not a nation. Israel, now a nation. Who did that? Me. Oh, look, they're going to come against war. Five nations against one little bitty nation. I hope Israel wins. Ooh, I'm so scared. Boom! Israel is still there, right? Understand that you're dealing with God, okay? So, the 120 in scripture. Let's talk about this then. Since we already dove in the water. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
You have 15 minutes.
Okay. That is enough time. Okay, I want you guys to understand this. Okay. Now watch this. Listen to me, please.
Where are you reading, Pastor?
I'm not reading from anywhere just yet. The word Passover, Pesach in Hebrew, has a numerical value of 148. Who is the Passover? Who is our Passover? Christ. Times 10 in Greek is not 148, but 1480. So times 10, the Passover times 10 is Christ. And he sent the dove out from the boat, right? And he says to Christ, when you see the dove descending upon him, you'll know that this is the Mashiach, right? Okay, dove in Hebrew is 71. Times 10 is the Holy Spirit in Greek. So he's timing it by times 10 to show you the bigger issue. Okay? Now watch this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13, verse 20. Are you there? Exodus chapter 13. I'm hoping it's in 13. If it's not in 13, I'll go to Numbers chapter 10. But Exodus chapter 13. And we're going to go to verse 21.
Exodus 13:21.
Yes. And what does it say here? Let's read this. It says, by the day of the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way by night, and a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Listen, after leaving Succoth, they camped. I went back to verse 20. At Etham in the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them, okay? In a pillar of cloud. The word pillar of cloud or pillar in Hebrew is 120.
Wow.
The word pillar is 120. Okay. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. chapter 3.
First Timothy?
I think it's 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 15. And if it, yeah, it is. It is. This is it. This is it. Can I start at 14 so it makes sense? Okay. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know. Now, it starts at 15 that says, if I am delayed, you will know. How people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. How much is the pillar in Greek in the New Testament? 100, 1200, 1200 times 10. So the pillar that he was talking about, that God is going to go ahead of you, okay, and guide you, is the same pillar that he said is the church. Understand, look, this 120 that God has told us about, the 120 jubilees, the 120, this 120 is more than just a number, okay? So my question again to you is, when did God, if God said the judgment will come the same way as the days of Noah. Okay, Noah, it's going to be 120 years. I know you're 480, and it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen in this land in 120 years. I'm going to take my Ruach out because it can't be here amongst men past the 120. And after 120, God's destruction began on the earth in the 120. Okay? So, my question again to the whole congregation of Jesus Christ all over the world. When did God begin the 120 count for the church? Because Jesus says it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. If he started it in 1900, that means in 1917, what happened? Jerusalem was won back to Israel in 1917. General Allenby came in, took back Jerusalem from the Turks in 1917, took it back from them, okay? And with a promissory note that he's going to give the land to Israel. That's in 1917, okay? They reneged on it. And then from Psalms 39 to Psalms 45, you know what you hear? We could read it, but we don't have that kind of time. We'll read it tomorrow. You hear Israel saying, woe is me, my destruction has come, the bitterness of my heart. For six chapters, all they're talking about is these terrible times that they're going through. How my enemy has overcome me. How my enemy destroys me and kills me without a cause. For six chapters, it talks like it's in the Holocaust. Right. Read it for yourself. Right. Psalms 139 and 145. Then, after that, it starts talking about God's rescue and beginning to bring them out, his promise. Then in 47, it says all the nations gather together and make a decision for the nation of Israel, Psalms 47. And what was the decision in 1947? We're giving you back the land. Then 48 says, give praise to God because in his citadel, in the city of the great king, he says the five nations came against them, but they ran in terror, right? So he tells you what's going to happen in 48. He doesn't stop there. He tells you what's going to happen in 49 and 50. And then he keeps going and keeps going and he keeps going, prophesying to you psalm after psalm after psalm until we get to Psalms 117. And what happens in Psalms 117, 2017? Trump comes forth and says, just like they did in Psalms 17, I'm going to do in Psalms 117, I'm declaring to you that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. So 120-year prophecy happened right on time, and now we're supposed to go, well, we didn't get raptured, let's forget about it and go back to sinning. And I just said that because that's why it just makes me mad when people do that. It's like, what are you going back for? They asked Jesus Christ. Jesus says, well, the others have left and they've gone back. So are you going to leave me too? The apostle says, and go where? You have the words of life. Where are we going to go? You know what I mean? That's what God is saying to you. Because the rapture, okay, where are you going to go now? Who's going to rescue you from tribulation now then?
Right.
Okay, since you don't believe no more and you want to go away, now tell me what's your second plan? Because God's plan is still in effect.
Right.
What's your second plan? Oh, I think I'll... You don't have a plan for what's coming.
Mm-mm.
But Jesus does, and his plan is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
And the world needs to be... I love the world. I want to preach to them. I want them to get saved. But the way some of them think, I say, you know what? I am not going to beg you to take $1 million. You understand?
Amen.
I'm not going to beg you to take Christ. He's offering salvation to the whole world.
Yes.
The former rain has come. He died on the cross. The latter rain has come. He resurrected and gave us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? And now that the latter rain is coming like the Melkosh rain into the earth, and wheat is being grown up and being filled up, okay? And to the place that we are so humble before God that we're bowing before him. God knows who the wheat is.
Yes.
The harvesters know who the wheat is. Understand?
Yes.
So my question to you, if God did begin the 120-year count at 1900s, because a whole lot of prophecy happened in 1900s, you guys. It's almost like this is when it's going to begin.
Amen.
And so now we're at this 119th Psalm, which is the Olive Tav Psalm. What is the Olive Tav? 22 letters, 8 verses representing Jesus Christ. We can't talk about it more deeply. Because for the next, from, and we did this in the class, from Psalms 120 to Psalms 127, you can measure out the tribulation in each psalm as if it's happening. When you get to Psalms 24, in the middle of the tribulation, it's going to say floodwaters are coming upon Israel. The enemy has sent out the flood against the nation of Israel. Okay? And then he says, at that time, he says, I'm going to rescue you. And he says, I'm going to return. In Psalms 126, I'm going to return to you with my sheaves. What sheaves? Bundles of wheat and barley. I'm going to return with the sheaves? Okay. I'm going to be the crazy one and say, Christians who are giving up on what God has planned have lost your minds. Okay. I think you've lost your mind because you have nowhere else to turn.
Nowhere.
You got an enemy that wants to kill you. Okay. You got a tribulation that a God who is it's impossible for him to lie says it's coming. You see signs of it every day. They're talking about putting chips inside of people every day. Right. And all of this stuff. And when we read tomorrow, Pastor Ben, we're going to read Revelation chapter 14, and you're going to see. Because I know this is going to happen. Rosh Hashanah is coming at the end of the month. You guys know I don't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture.
Right.
Okay? I believe it gets fulfilled at the end of the tribulation. But I do believe in a second harvest.
Yes.
And I do believe that the church is going to leave. And I do believe that the 120-year count for us started in the 1900s.
Yes.
Because Christ said it will be just as it was in the days of Noah. He counted off 120. And here we have in a book that we read every day and believe, 120-year count being counted off. And when we get to 120, it says, now these are the songs of ascent. They're the Genesis Psalms. This is a new beginning. Come on. All right. I don't even know how to end this, Pastor Dan. But I was very joyful as the Lord took me back and said, I told you to not forget what you've already learned. You guys have learned too much to not understand what I'm doing now in this time, okay? I think we have a rescue coming. And I'm praising God. Amen? Amen.
And it's Shalom from Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, holla Shalom. As-salamu alaykum, not in the Muslim way, but peace be unto you in Arabic, okay? And Shalom.
And your list? When are you going to read your list?
Oh, my list? Let me see. I have my list. Hold up. Let's see. Who I got today?
Pastor, they've been from all over the world, man.
I know.
Amen.
I know.
All over the place.
Okay, we left off last time with Lisa McCracken from British Columbia. And then we had Alice. Oh, it's H-E-I-D-T from Virginia Beach. And then Tammy Galvin from Splendora, Texas. Jesse Hoffman from Baron, Wisconsin. Okay. And who is this? Oh, O'Brien Brewster from Barbados. And Yolanda Marquez from Phoenix. And David H-E-I-G-L from Lafayette, Alabama. Now we're getting into some more here. Countries and nations. We got, now I'm not going to try to pronounce this. Yeah, I can pronounce this. Don and Joe, and they're in Hong Kong. And what else we got? We got Gilbert Parent from Quebec, Canada. And we have Janice Byam from Trinidad. I'm not going to try to say the whole thing. And we have a lot. Rebecca White from Fairmount, West Virginia. I can't do all these names, Pastor Ben. It's 140. Let me see. 134? Man. You know, God told me he was going to do this. I told Pastor Ben.
Yep.
Well, Pastor Ben told me first. He said, we're going to be international. But God told me he was going to do something with the church and take care of it. But he had to get rid of some people.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? We can't be getting rid of no people, Lord. We need members. And he did it. And he brought all of you wonderful people with
Amen.
Us. So praise God. We'll read some more names because I want to thank you for joining S4C Worldwide. Praise
Amen.
God. Hallelujah. We're out.